All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, Lord, and your promises that you give to us, Father. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us today, Lord, as we open your word. Lord, help us catch a glimpse of eternity, Father. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom and understanding. Help us to be faithful to you. And again, I thank you, Lord, for all of this. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. I want to... I think we'll just start here in Revelation. Chapter 12, verse 11. Just want to read one verse here. Just kind of start here to go along with what the lesson that the boys gave this morning. It says, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death." The boys gave in their lesson accounts of people who were faithful unto death, or whose death they were put to death because of their faith. And you know, a lot of people think that that's kind of gruesome or discouraging or depressing, but it is a glorious thing that there have been people throughout this world that, although the world sees a grim end to their lives, they saw something much more precious than just this life. They saw a glimpse of eternity. And they had something in them that was able to overcome one of the most strong desires that we have in the world, and that's to live. You know, we think of Jesus on the cross and just his suffering there. And they say that on the cross you suffocate. You don't bleed to death. You suffocate. And the pain to lift against those nails in your feet, you have to lift up so that you can breathe again and take another breath. And even at excruciating, as they still reach for another breath, that desire for life is so strong in human nature and what we are, that even in the situation where Jesus hanging on a cross, they just keep lifting up enough to get one more breath so they don't die again. And then to be willing to overcome even that desire to where you could make a simple choice and give up and live, to choose to lay down your life because of your principles and because of your love for the Lord and your desire to please Him. These people, and they overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their own lives even unto the death. We talk about enduring to the end. And this is how we do it. Because of the blood of the Lamb. What Jesus went through. He lived his life on this earth and shed his blood so that we could be restored to God, be reconciled, to return to our God and how He wants us to be. And He laid down His life for that. He struggled as long as He could to live suffering. And yet, in the end, He laid down His life. And the blood of that testimony, that is what Christianity is about. It's not making your life all comfortable and all wonderful, you know, shiny, glorious. That's not what this is all about. And that's where people get Christianity all mixed up, that it's all about you. But it's not. That's why death, martyrdom, torture, things that our human nature just shun and wouldn't like, and they're not pleasant. But that's why they can be glorious. The man hanging on the cross, blood, beat up, nasty to our eyes, to our flesh, to our desire. Horrible. And yet, there's something beautiful about it. There's something glorious about it. Because we all die. But here's a man dying for a glorious reason. A glorious cause. So we don't necessarily glory in the blood and the gore of it. We see beyond that and see the glory of what that man was seeing. He despised what he had to go through, seeing what lay ahead and past this veil of flesh and this veil of life. He saw eternity. He had eternity in his eyes. Some of the old Methodist preachers, I remember reading a book about one of them one time, and it said his testimony was he saw eternity in everything that he did. He saw past this world. He saw past all the things going on around him. He had his eye on eternity. That's why, you know, it's not a grim thing to hear about men who are tortured. It's not a grim thing to hear about people who are put to death. It's not a grim thing to hear about people who are burned at the stake because they loved not their lives even unto death. It's not a grim thing. We don't like it. We don't glory in that pain and suffering. But we see past those things to the glory that lies beyond them. It's just good for us all to be reminded that not everybody's had it as easy as we have. You know, we've lived relatively in this country, especially, free from obvious persecutions. And we become complacent. And we forget about what it's cost others throughout history. Just to serve the Lord. Just to confess His name. We hear so many today just freely talking about it. No problem. Hear people using and abusing the name. Profiting by it. Making fortunes by talking about Jesus and what He can do for you. We hear it all the time. And then we just take a little glimpse back in history, and just that's why we love to go back into history and see what it really is all about. We forget complacency and ease are our enemies. You know, it's so easy just to get caught up in this world, live our lives, and oh, we're a good Christian, we're just fine, we just go to church and we just love the Lord. And we almost get to despising the suffering thinking little of those that went on before. It's just out of our minds. We don't even think about it. In fact, somebody in a prosperous time really decides to love the Lord, we just don't think, well, maybe there's something a little wrong with those people. Why aren't you prospering? Why? You know, things happen that the world thinks, well, he just brought that on himself. You know, I appreciated what Tyler said about, you know, how much suffering we go through. And, oh, it's so easy just to think, well, that's from the Lord. And it's got our fingerprints all over it. I'd say 90% of our suffering is self-inflicted. How little pure suffering there is. How little pure someone suffers because they love the Lord. I know people who try to create themselves as being a martyr so that they can have a little bit of that glory or fellowship of, you know, they just try to do stuff just to get themselves in trouble and then just gloat about it. They're so proud of themselves. That's not the way suffering goes. Suffering is suffering. There's no pride in it. There's nothing glorious about it when you're going through it. Whenever something happens to you and you're just trying to do what's right, and you're just trying to walk the path that's in front of you and walk in the light, and people just are against you and they turn against you and they hate you and they say all things against you, and you're just trying to say, oh, wait a minute, let's just do what's right here. And why is everybody, why can't you see this? Why can't you see? And they're fighting against you and they turn against you and they try to upset you and they plan and scheme to try to derail what you're doing, and all you're trying to do is what's right. And you're not feeling proud because, oh, I'm being persecuted. Wow, I'm really racking them up here for the Lord. I'm glorious. I'm going to be a star. I'm going to be a king. I'm going to be right there, right beside Jesus. That's not what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, what's going on here? Why is this so difficult? Why are they doing this? And you just long for them to see it. That's what these people who were martyred did. Stephen, being martyred, throwing rocks at him. He wasn't thinking, wow, boy, I'm really gaining today. He was saying, Lord, what, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He wasn't thinking about himself, because that's not the way you love your life unto the death. If all you're thinking about yourself while you're being martyred, you're missing it. That's what it talks about when in 1 Corinthians 13, when it talks about the love chapter, about people who can even die and not have love. They can die for a cause and they love themselves. Love is not about ourselves. We've got to lose our life before we can find it. So many people serving the Lord because they're afraid for their own flesh. And they'll do a lot of righteous things and a lot. They'll go through a world of suffering to save their own hide. And they know nothing of losing their life and finding it. Because they're trying everything they can, even religion. They try everything to save their own life. The ones who overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, Just think about that word of their testimony. You know, when Jesus came back, the disciples, after he rose from the dead, he came and showed himself to the disciples, and they had the one called Doubting Thomas, you know. He didn't believe that Jesus was back until they met Jesus, and Jesus said, "Here, put your hands in the holes here. It's me. Stick your hand in the side here where they ran that big spear up in me. Touch your hand here." And the apostle said, "I believe. I believe." He went on. Said he went into India to preach the gospel. I've been to the place where he supposedly died, where the people killed him. He died because he believed. And he lost his life because he didn't love his own. But Jesus said to him, to that man, he said, "Blessed are you who see." You know, you see. But blessed are those who, though they see not, yet believe. How is it? It's so difficult. It's been over 2,000 years. Getting close to 2,100 years since Jesus died. And so many things have transpired. So many things have rose up and took the place. Saying they love the Lord and establish institutions all around what this is all supposed to be about. And those institutions even wind up persecuting those who are faithful. But that line, that little scarlet line, that blood of martyrs that's gone through from the very beginning, just finds its way even to now. Not going with just what's established all the time. Not going with the institution all the time. But somehow having that vision of eternity through it all. And blessed are those who 2,100 years later, 2,000 some odd years later, are still able to catch the glimpse of eternity. Not necessarily going along with the established religion. Not necessarily even fighting against it. You know, it's so easy for us just to fight against the establishment. Because, I can prove them wrong by the Bible. And we can just kick them out of the way and wind up getting in trouble myself because I'm standing for the truth. But the martyrs didn't necessarily always do that. They were just people who saw eternity and loved the institutions even. They weren't just fighting because they're rebels. They saw eternity and were trying to lead others to it and were killed for it. It's so easy for us. That's another danger, just to be a rebel and fight against everything that's established. Those who love their lives don't just hate something. They're not just mad at something. They love their lives. They love not their lives unto the death. They love the Lord. They love that vision of eternity. You know, we can go out and cause a riot. We can go out and just stir up all kinds of things. I can go up almost to any church or any religion, any established institution, and just start running them down. Just start telling them where all they're wrong. And we think that's preaching. There's a time for pointing out things. The point I'm trying to say is we can go make ourselves martyrs if we want to and miss the whole thing. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. Today, persecution may not look like it did. You know, we sometimes think the only person being persecuted is if they're being tied to a stake and burned, or they're hung upside down on a cross. We don't see a lot of that. But the persecution can be just as real, and will be just as real, to the man who loves the Lord and sees eternity. Light and darkness will not dwell together. Even in the middle of a peaceful situation, we can walk in the light and we will be hated by the world. They'll hate us. That may not just be out there saying all kinds of bad things all of a sudden right to our face. They may be just saying all kinds of nice things to our face. But just scheming, planning, trying to overthrow. You know, there's churches that if you don't go with their rules, they'll excommunicate you. They'll write your name off of the roll. I've told them before, I said, you know, 400 years ago, you'd be talking to a pile of ashes. Because they had the power of the sword to back up their excommunication. It's the same thing. Just because a church doesn't have the power to kill you doesn't mean that's not what they've done in their hearts. They want rid of the light. They want rid of that person that sees past their institution, that person that sees eternity and is living for it. He that endures to the end will be saved. Right here's how you endure to the end. You get that vision of eternity. You love the Lord that shed His blood for you. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we got people that just go around keeping His commandments and thinking that's loving the Lord. It's much, much deeper than that. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. There's a whole bunch of counterfeits out there that are keeping His commandments, saying they love the Lord. When Jesus talked to Thomas, He breathed on him and they gave him the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is why people see that vision of eternity. That's what God gave. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm sending one greater. Whenever they looked at Him and said, hey, we have to see that side there, and we have to see that nail prints, or we won't believe. Well, when Jesus went away, He gave them the Spirit of God. So that 2,000 years later, people who can just hear the testimony, hear the Word of God, and God's Spirit says, boom, that's real. There's something there. And shows them that view of eternity. That's how people can still have that 2,000 years later. people can take the Bible and turn it upside down, twist it any way you want to, and make a religion out of it. But it's God's Spirit, that Spirit of eternity, the eternal Spirit that we line up with, that keeps it straight. For we love God with all our heart. We love our neighbor as ourselves. We can do that on the outside. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is all about. I'm just going to read a few verses here of it. So if I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. People can sound so great. They can look so holy. They can have all the appearance of a fine orchestra. And to God, it's just a banging gong. Hollow. People make a fortune being able to tickle ears and tell people what they want. And they're lifted up because they can speak so well, so beautiful. And they become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Boy, how harsh that is on our ears if someone would just bang a cymbal right in front of right in between us. How many of them would think, oh, what a beautiful sound. We'd all reach to cover our ears because we don't want to hear that trash. That's what God hears. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. I believe because Jesus died and overcame Satan and he has the power, that's the reason people are healed. I believe that people who don't even believe are healed because Jesus overcame Satan and can set them free. And people can even take that and make a business out of it. Have all kinds of faith to see these things through. It's real. But if you don't have love, charity, if you don't have God's Spirit with that view of eternity, it's nothing. We can have all those things by faith. We can do miracles by faith. It happens. But the greatest faith is that one who hears the Lord and does His will. There's all kind of faith in the world. But there's only so much, so little of that faith who sees eternity. That's what'll endure to the end. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, and do not have love, it profits me nothing. Here's what I was talking about earlier. There's people die for their faith, their religion, all day long. Most of the time it's simply to save their own hide. People are radical about every kind of cause and are willing to die for it. There's people in nations that will go kill and die, give their life for their nation. But if they don't have that eternity in their hearts, it profits them nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffering. You know, if Stephen was like most religious people, he'd have been taking names about who was throwing rocks at him. Instead of saying, "Father, forgive them. I don't care who they are." I think that's what it talks about, that those sins that are remitted are forgiven in heaven, and those that are retained in heaven. I mean, the saints have power to release sin on earth. You know, if a man can forgive someone, how much greater can God forgive someone? That's the power God has given us. We actually have power. That if we can truly forgive, God can forgive it. I don't understand about the retaining part. I don't know about it. But I know that God can. If I can forgive, God can. He's much, much more merciful and more full of love than I am. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And if there are gifts of prophecy, they are done away. And if there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I've also been fully known. But now faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. May the Lord help us to have that vision. We can have that right now. Or we can just ho-hum go to church again on Sunday. We can just go through all the motions. We can keep all the rules. Oh, we can be good people. We can be decent folks. We can help here and there. We can do all kinds of things that look good. But if we don't have that love for the Lord, that love for a neighbor, and I'm not talking just having this gushy feeling all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. The son that said, "No, Lord, no, Father, I'm not going to do that." And then he went and did it. Wasn't just because he going to get in trouble. He loved his father and he respected him. Now, I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it. That's where love kicks in. Love kicks in past our reasoning. Reasoning like a child has to figure everything out. Reasoning with love is, it's the right thing. No matter what it costs me, I'm just going to do it. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I'm not trying to be a hero. I'm just going to do it because it needs done. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. May the Lord add his blessings.